Monday, 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, first segment of the week. And I'm feeling good, Colfax. I'm feeling fantastic right now. Because, well, first off, the Denver Nuggets, I gotta say, man, I was pretty pumped up about the run they went on before the trade deadline. I'm feeling really good about Denver at this stage. Aaron Gordon. Now, I know it's game one, but what did I say on Friday, Colfax? I told you. I said it's probably going to take 4 or 5 games to get rolling, and it still could. It still could take 4 or 5 games to see what this team's really going to be like without him. Without, I guess, RJ Hampton-Gerhears, but with the new deal, with the new group that they have in this lineup, with Aaron Gordon especially. JaVale McGee didn't even play. That's fine. I mean, you're going to use him at some point, but man, this was a lot of fun. Denver gets the W last night. It's an Atlanta team that's, listen, they're not bad. They're a 500 team, maybe a playoff team. Kind of shorthanded, but Nuggets take care of it. Aaron Gordon in his debut for the Nuggets, 13 points, had an assist, had a couple rebounds. It was his defense that was so important for Denver. That defense was great. Was awesome. It's good to see. And then you see Porter do his thing. Murray was off. See, I'll tell you what, right now, Colfax, pressure's going to start coming off Jamal Murray from yours truly, I'll tell you that. If you have another guy that's picking up where he might drop off. This was a balanced team. Jamichael Green was the 20-point man last night. He was on fire. Talk about fighting for his spot. I'll tell you, the balancing act Malone's going to have in this one is going to be absolutely insane. Because Millsap, defensively, you still like him in there. He played 20 minutes. He didn't start. Played 20 minutes, 9 points. Jamichael Green played 14 minutes, 20 points. Okay, we'll take that. But, we talked about those guys being, one of those guys is going to lose some minutes. Certainly did, but if you can work that out. But you didn't even see JaVale McGee. And I don't think you'll see him when they play teams that are guard heavy. You're going to see him with the teams like the Lakers, the bigger teams with bigger guys. But the attitude's there, man. This want to. I mean, JaVale McGee with like 4 minutes left. JaVale's not a star at all, but he's certainly been in the league a while. And, sometimes guys like that can go, I don't want to be thrown in when we're blowing a team out in the last 4 minutes of the game. That's disrespectful to me. No, he looks up at Coach Malone and says, hey, Coach, I'm ready whenever, man. You just tell me when, and I'm going to be there. Cleveland's at a Cleveland's camp where he just was, they said he was already one of their biggest leaders on the team. Denver has guys that are buying in. And Aaron Gordon, almost instantly, buying in on this one, Colfax. He was asked about Nikola Jokic specifically and what that's like playing with him. Here is brand new Denver Nugget Aaron Gordon.
It just makes the game so easy. He makes the right reads. He's out there talking to us on the floor, telling us what he wants to see from us. And, it just, like I said, it makes the game easy playing with a guy like that.
He was asked too, and I don't think we have this clip, Colfax. Maybe we do. He was asked about his role. With Orlando, he was the one guy, the two guy. Either way, he's going to be an option, a big-time option. Well, in Denver, it's fair to say he might be the fourth option. And depending on Will Barton, Jamichael Green, whatever, could be the fifth option. Here's Aaron Gordon talking about his role with Denver.
I mean, it's just to make the right reads. It's to make the right plays. And that's really what it comes down to. There's a ton of ways to get your offense going within the system. And I'm really not worried about that. I'm looking to lock up on the defensive end every night. And then just make the right plays. Hit guys for open looks, knock down shots when I'm open. And just make the game easier for everybody else that's out there. I'm just looking to make everybody else better around me.
I mean, it looked fun. It looked fun. Everybody was getting in on the action. I think defensively, they looked more complete. Now, again, it's one game. But I thought we'd have 5 games in a row of growing pains. And this was a nice dub for Denver. Looking to get that first 30 wins there. They're at 28-18. They're sitting at fifth. I think it's very important to continue to chase down that 2-1. I know I know one's going to be tough, but you do not want to play the Lakers or the Clippers in the first round. And if you can work it out where those two are playing in the first round, that would be beautiful. So, yeah, Denver's going to be watching the standings. It's not all about being the best in the West. Denver hasn't been that way in 2 years, Colfax. You know, if it ends that way, it ends that way, but they're definitely watching the standings. I thought Porter's defense looked better. When you can get this from your starters, all in the pluses, Gordon plus 17, Barton plus 18, Porter plus 18, Joker plus 20, Murray plus 23. Joker had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. There's those other stats. He's only 7 of 12. That's just an efficient basketball game, 7 of 12. Now, last year, I would have said, what are you doing, Joker? If they would have lost, right? You can't shoot 12 times. I need you shooting 20. You have a star. Now, is Aaron Gordon a quote-unquote superstar? No. He was on his way to being one and then just kind of slowed down. Good player. Kind of like what happened with LaMarcus Aldridge a little bit. He was really, really good in Portland. Maybe a superstar type guy. Then he goes to San Antonio and he just kind of just a good player. That's kind of where Aaron Gordon's game has gone. Although, if he can keep cutting to the basket, I had somebody today say, hey, why are we making such a big deal about Aaron Gordon cutting to the basket when Joker's... Isn't that easy now? Shouldn't players just know, okay, Joker has the ball, cut to the basket? It's way different than you have to find the... You have to find the lanes. You have to cut through the screens. You have to be a big body to get through there. There's a lot more than just taking off and running. It just doesn't work like that. You have to pick your spots. Because if you're doing it all game, every time Joker touches the ball, you're cutting. You're going to be exhausted. And they're going to know it's coming. Oh, Joker's coming. Look at all the lanes here. So the trick is, and as you see with Joker, he's mastered that fake three at the top. Always pump fakes there. Teams are starting to not fall for it as much, so they play back. Pop it. Just pop the three. It is a game of, as JaVale McGee said, it's chess, man. You are trying to bait players constantly to the other defense. And that there is an art to cutting effectively, to being open. Again, can't do it every single time. You got to pick your spots. Doesn't say you're not moving, but as far as cutting directly to the basket when Joker has the ball, yeah, you do have to pick your spots. This was good, man. I'm definitely all in. You know, watching outside NBA, trust me, once Brooklyn gets reloaded with everybody, is going to be scary. The Lakers are still going to be scary. The Sixers on both teams on the East with Brooklyn and the Sixers. Sixers are still good without Joel Embiid. I think Denver plays Philly tomorrow night, and then they play the Clippers on Thursday. So two big tests coming up for the Nuggets. Listen, there's a lot of great teams. There's no doubt about it. It is going to be a battle, but I think right now you have to think Joker's the favorite to win the MVP, and I think the Nuggets have got to be up there. I said on Friday, does this make them a favorite? And I said, yes, it does. Let's see what Aaron Gordon thinks. How good can the Denver Nuggets be?
I don't really see a limit. I see no limits for this team. It looks like we have all the pieces that we need. We have the depth. It looks like we're covered in a lot of different spots, offensively, defensively. And as long as we're all working together, you know, there's no stopping us.
That looked like a cohesive group last night, man. They looked really unselfish, but assertive. I like the pieces. And honestly, even Barton's, his aggressiveness to the rim. Yeah, he misses a few, but I kind of like the mix. We'll see, man. I mean, we got a lot of games to go, but based on one, we're ahead of where I thought they'd be. I thought give it 4 or 5 games. You know, maybe you skate one out between Atlanta. But no, you ran the table on this one. There was no doubt. You took care of it. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. 970-478-1301. I got to tell you about our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week before we get to our good, the bad, the ugly. This one's from Soulcraft Brewing in Salida. Soulcraft Brewing, Colfax. That sounds like a video game that I'd be interested in. Soulcraft. Probably a game about brewing. You'd play that. It is a green chili ale. Pick up selections from Soulcraft or any other of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every night. Also, Molly Brown Spirits from Denver. Bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey available only at On the Rocks Liquor around here. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, let's get to it here. The good story, Colfax, we just talked about it. The Nuggets finding a way to absolutely work Atlanta. First game with the new look with Aaron Gordon in the mix. And so far, so good.
Pass it under to Gordon, and Gordon hammers it through. Now Gordon's got it. Swheels into the key and puts it in. Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon. You're going to hear that name a lot. If you're tired of it, then you should probably cover your ears. The bad? The NIT... To be honest, I forgot they even played for a consolation prize, but whatever. It's not enough to have 4 million secondary ways to win in college basketball, but you got to have another million added onto that. Bummer still, the Colorado State Rams lost over the weekend to Louisiana Tech.
25 seconds to play, Roddy! Down by two. Roddy to the bucket!
How about that?
Roddy Piper, like the wrestler, he's coming out of the tunnel, and he tied the game.
And he's got those stitches, he doesn't care.
Third place game of the NIT on the line. 4 seconds on the clock. Lofton against Roddy. Up
yes!
And in with .3 on the clock. Stevens at the buzzer! Oh, off the mark. And Louisiana Tech.
Heartbreaker for sure. Great broadcast, though. Heartbreaker there for Colorado State. What's next for this Rams team? I think the future looks extremely bright. Over the weekend, we asked, are they the favorite to win the Mountain Conference regular season? The Mountain West Conference regular season. A lot of people really like Nevada. But, yeah, Roddy. I love the Roddy Piper. Remember Roddy Piper, man? We're talking a lot about WCW and WWF and stuff. I'll take that nickname. That is a great nickname for David Roddy. Bummer for the Rams. They'll be back, though. They're going dancing next year, Colfax. Mark my words, they're going dancing. The ugly. No clip for this, Colfax, right? Probably a good thing. Three new lawsuits accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct were filed Sunday night, including one that claims the Houston Texans quarterback is deleting Instagram messages and contacting the women who formally provided him massages in an attempt to settle those cases. And that's the good, the bad, and whew, it looks to be very, very ugly, thanks to FMS Bank, banking made simple. Well, where are we now? When this story first came out, attorney Busby gets after Deshaun, messages him, basically says, hey, let's settle before this thing blows up. Deshaun refuses to do that, goes out on his own social media saying, hey, it's all about clearing my name now. Well, now we're hearing this, that there are two new, including one file, at least, of the sexual assault claims filed Sunday, one of them saying that he's formally, or he is deleting former messages from women that provided him massages in an attempt to settle those cases. If that's true, here we go. Is that going to be the end of Deshaun Watson? If he's settling, let's just say that, again, I don't know if this report is true. We do know this, that the Harris County District Attorney's office said last week that it would be inappropriate for the DA's office to comment on the lawsuit. Here's the quote. It would be inappropriate for the district attorney's office to comment on a civil lawsuit, and we refrain from publicly discussing allegations in a matter until and if a crime charge is filed. We do this out of fairness to all. So we're not there yet. We're not there. Are we going to get to some kind of a settlement beforehand? Or is it too late? Or is Watson actually even doing this? Watson's lawyer, standing pat here, saying, still good. Rusty Hardin, Watson's lawyer, said last week that he believes any allegation that Deshaun forced a woman to commit a sexual act is completely false. He said in a statement that his law firm has strong evidence showing that one of the lawsuits alleging sexual assault is false and that it calls into question the legitimacy of the other cases as well. Well, I guess there you go. If you're a fan of the lawyer movies, if you can get one of these stories to look a little shaky, then you could, that could be the domino effect. So it's not over either way. I'm just saying this every day. Doesn't it look a bit darker for Deshaun Watson? And at the very least, his career in the NFL, And at the very, very least, his career outside of Houston, I don't see anyone at this point picking him up. I mean, this is not a one-time occurrence. I know in this day and age, if you screw up once, you are crucified. This sounds like, and again, if this is true, 19 cases, Colfax. 19. It's going up almost daily. If that's true, if it really is true, you're talking about a guy that has some serious stuff going on. Some serious psychological stuff happening here. Because we always ask the same questions, right? Oh, what's this? He's a good-looking young man who's an amazing football player. I mean, shouldn't be hard for him to get a date, you would think. But there's always something a little deeper than that, isn't there, whenever we hear these stories. 21 minutes after the hour, the NFL sounds like, I thought it was as good as done, but it sounds like now it's getting close to being as good as done. 17 games. NFL players not happy about it. We'll discuss that. Zach Stevens going to join us. How rich are the Broncos willing to go in order to get a quarterback in the draft? So this is for David Roddy because of Roddy Piper.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You know, every once in a while, I like to load this Power to Play Sports poll question up, Colfax. Just see where we are. I like to gauge the hooligans, see how you're feeling about things. Favorite Denver pro team. I didn't want to do favorite pro Denver team because then you'd get people coming out saying, oh, pro Denver. You get it. You know, it's in this political day and age. Favorite Denver pro team. Any guesses as to who's leading the vote, Colfax?
Got to be Broncos.
60% of the votes with the Broncos still. This is still Broncos country. Second place?
Oof. It's got to be Nuggets.
Nuggets are getting 20% of the votes, so they're in second.
That big of a gap,
It's though? That big of
Holy
a gap.
Cow.
Yeah. Avalanche coming in third.
Yeah.
Rockies at 5%.
Ooh.
5% of the hooligans. Are saying, Rocky, if you guys want to vote, go vote at thewholeshow.com. I'd be curious to see how this one ends up. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Broncos are going to win. Well, I just refreshed. So Broncos 57%. Rockies, poor Rockies, man. They're not going to. Are they going to crack 5% of the hooligans vote here? Got a lot of flack for this. You know what my game of the week? Well, I can't. Whoa, game of the week's coming up. All right, game of the week's coming up. I'll tell you what my game of the week is. Every Monday I let you guys know so you know what the greatest game is to watch. We'll get to that. Broncos 57%. Whew. Killing it right now. Let's see. Texter here from Dixon. Brady, I think most equate settling to be guilty, to being guilty. Feels like the damage has been done here and will be tough to recover from no matter the outcome. Maybe. The only thing we don't know, Colfax, is if that is 100% confirmed. The report came out that in one of the cases, they're alleging that he's deleting Instagram messages and reaching out to at least one of the women to try to settle. We don't have that confirmed. So that's the last thing Deshaun's kind of hanging on to. You're right, though. Even if this doesn't go to court, would you consider the damage to be done here? 19 cases? Because there's no resolution. He can settle. There can be people that don't think he did it still, that he just wanted to stop the madness. Because there are cases where people settle and they didn't do it, right? They don't want to go through the whole thing. I'm not saying that this is that case. But does that mean the end of his career if he settles with this whole deal, and we get some kind of undisclosed amount? It wasn't over for Kobe Bryant, but I'm not trying to make one sound less horrifying or whatever, however you want to go, but it was one case. Kobe came out, put a letter together saying that, I mean, he kind of cleared some of it up, right? whether you loved him for it or hated him for it, he did put in the note. The woman involved clearly thought the night was going in a different direction than he thought. He thought they were having a great time, and it was, again, you guys, that's all well and done. That's done with. This is different. This is certainly different. This is 19 cases, and it leads us to believe, wow, what's happening here? And I don't even know if we've gotten into the heart of a lot of these details either. So it's an interesting time and a very tough time if you were a Deshaun Watson fan, because it doesn't look good for him to recover from this. And the idea of him playing for the Broncos, Colfax, is, I think, out the window. I mean, especially this year. I mean, maybe you get to a point where in a year or two he's out of the league, whatever. Houston's actually okay with him sitting now, and they're not going to trade him, which doesn't sound like that. It kind of sounds like that's what's going to happen. Then, you know, you maybe in a year or two he gets a shot. I don't know. I can't see this thing blowing over. Not that it certainly should not if it's true. He should be done. And then the legal side of things should start to run its course. 31 minutes after the hour. Before we break, NFL players not thrilled about the idea of a 17-game NFL schedule. Now, owners are scheduled to decide officially on whether to approve the expansion during their virtual league meetings Tuesday and Wednesday. New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara said, S-word, blank is dumb as hell. Adrian Amos, we're really going to let this happen. Darius Slay, that's what I'm saying. Cameron Jordan, we all knew it was coming. He knew it. She knew it. They knew it. I knew it. A lot of players just not thrilled with it. It's an extra game. It's an extra week. Take the preseason down. Take training camp down a week or two. I'm cool with it. But then again, don't be hypocritical either, NFL. Don't talk to me about safety all day long when you're going to add another week of practice, another full-on four-hour game, three-and-a-half-hour game of full-on contact. I'm for it. It's another week of regular season football, but I'm not a player. I can see why maybe they're frustrated. Can you find a way to give in a little bit? Remove a week of training camp. Remove a preseason game or two. 32 minutes after the hour, Zach Stevens coming up. We're going to talk to him of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. So we'll get to him. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos next. Zach, hey, before we get into Broncos news here, sounded more and more likely like we can add another regular season game to the schedule with number 17 coming.
Yes, it absolutely does, and that would mean great things because not only an extra regular season game, but one fewer preseason games. So keep it to 20 games, but give us a bonus fun one. And Brady, we're not going to see 500 records anymore. You're either going to be above 500 or below. Get ready for 9-8. How does that sound? 11-6. It just feels weird right now.
It's going to be so weird. It's probably going to take several years for me to get that one right. I mean, I hear people all the time talking about, oh, well, can the Broncos get to 10-6? Can they get to 9-7? Well, we got to change that thinking all the way around. Players are kind of, just reading on Twitter today and yesterday, players aren't, a lot of high-profile players, not extremely thrilled about it.
Yeah, and they'll be more thrilled when those game checks come in in a couple of years when all of this catches up. But yeah, right now they're going to be playing that 17th game at a discount.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Well, I'm pumped for it. Like you said, remove some preseason, and away we go. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Okay, let's get to this one first. George Payton not going to attend Alabama's Pro Day, Zach. but going to Ohio State's Pro Day on Tuesday. What does that tell us about the quarterback situation here between between Mac Jones and, of course, really Justin Fields here at this point?
Yeah, this is Pro Day Gate 2021 with George Payton attending Ohio State over Alabama. And I got to say, I'm a little disappointed that George Payton didn't start his Pro Day tour one day earlier last week, because, of course, with how much talent Alabama has, they had two Pro Days to display all of their guys. Mac Jones threw at both of them, and George Payton just simply wasn't at any Pro Days last week during the Alabama one. Then he started his Pro Day tour after, so he will not see Mac Jones throw in person. And an interesting little thing from Mike Shula last week, when he and George Payton were on their way down to see Zach Wilson throw down at BYU, he said it's very important to see these guys in person. So I think you have to read into that a little bit, that they're not going to see Mac Jones, or they already have their full evaluation on Mac Jones. We know that he, outside of Trevor Lawrence, is probably the most pro-ready quarterback right now. But one of the things you hear about Mac Jones, one of the knocks against him, is his arm isn't as strong as other arms. That's an arm I want to see in person, see how he throws and see how that ball comes out. And that's something that that Mike Shula pointed to. You want to see the velocity on these throws. And really, with Justin Fields, there's not really a question on his velocity. He has a strong arm. He's accurate. The question with Justin Fields is his processing. Can he process quick enough at the next level? A lot of times last year, he held on to the ball for too long, and that forced pressure that created some sacks. And you don't really get to see processing speed at a pro day here, but it is a big deal that George Payton is going to be going to Ohio State's Pro Day instead of Alabama's. Now, the Broncos will still have representation at Alabama's Pro Day, and the Broncos are going to meet with Mac Jones next week virtually. It doesn't rule Mac Jones out, but it just might mean that the Broncos have to do more homework on Justin Fields.
Now, even all that being said, Zach, George Payton's certainly making the trips, watching other players outside of the quarterback position, so still kind of up in the air what Denver's going to do. Well, with the news of last week, when we're seeing teams trading all over the place, now San Francisco moving around, Miami moving around, it kind of gives you the blueprint, I suppose, of if Denver really wants to go up and get one of those top five quarterbacks, they're going to have to give quite a bit here, not that far off from what we talked about a few weeks back about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And the San Francisco 49ers put a blueprint out there for the Broncos. San Fran jumped from 12 to 3. Broncos jumping from 9. Let's say the Jets make that number 2 pick available. If the Broncos want to jump from 9 to 2, which would be a huge jump, and also could land them Zach Wilson, which a lot of people don't think is available. But let's say that the Jets just want to roll with Sam Darnold another year. Well, you have the blueprint. It's what the 49ers just gave up to go to number 3. So what the Broncos would have to give up is number 9 this year, a 2022 first-round pick, a 2023 first-round pick, and an additional second or third round pick. That is the Deshaun Watson type of territory that we were talking about. But then the Broncos would land the second best quarterback. A lot of people believe that's Zach Wilson. They could get him, Zach Wilson, who made that incredible throw at his pro day last week, which pretty much stole the headlines. But let's say it's not for the number 2 pick. Let's say it's for the number 4 pick with the Atlanta Falcons. The Broncos are in a fantastic position to trade up to that number 4 pick with the Atlanta Falcons, because you look around, there's no other teams ahead of the Broncos that would be able to make that trade with Atlanta. Because you look, Cincinnati at 5, they're not going to trade with Atlanta to move up one spot for a non-quarterback, because they already have their quarterback. The other teams ahead of them outside of the Carolina Panthers aren't going to be going after a quarterback, so they're not going to want to trade up. The Carolina Panthers, I can't see the Atlanta Falcons making a big-time trade with their division rival to let them go get their quarterback of the future. So the Broncos are in a great spot where they could have the best leverage in order to move from 9 to 4 with Atlanta if Atlanta doesn't want a quarterback. And I think trade compensation there, Brady, we're talking about number 9 this year, a 2022 first-round pick, and then a second or a third-round pick. So while it is the big trade, you're not mortgaging the future. We're not talking about the Deshaun Watson type of deal that's 3 first-round picks. And I think that's one that George Payton could convince himself to do.
Where do you see this, Zach? Obviously, you know, we look at Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence. We look at that second spot. The second spot still is kind of debatable with the Jets, really, because of where they are with Aaron Donald and everything. But still, if we, you know, if we're just going off of 4 million mock drafts, you know, there's Zach probably gone there. San Francisco now in that spot. Mac Jones. So you start working down the mix there, and then that pretty much leaves Justin Fields, right? I mean, is that your thinking or your thought process?
For Justin Fields, for which spot?
If you do get up at least around that in the top 10, if you were able to get up closer to 7-6 or, you know, not necessarily top 5.
Well, what's really, really interesting is people have no idea who the San Francisco 49ers are taking. Of course, the rumor's coming out that they're okay with any of them, which means they're okay with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, which I don't think shocks anyone. But what's so fascinating is initially I thought it was for Trey Lance because he has the Patrick Mahomes skill set, and I think people are going to absolutely fall in love with that. But then you have people saying, well, Kyle Shanahan does have a history with Justin Fields, and Kyle Shanahan's done a great job throughout his career really helping receivers get to their first and second read. So if he thinks that he can eliminate any questions with Justin Fields processing because of Kyle Shanahan being able to control that, well, then Justin Fields also has it all. He has the arm strength, the accuracy, and he also has the mobility that Kyle Shanahan would like. And then the most interesting one is a lot of people, and specifically the ones that know Kyle Shanahan personally and just throughout his career, are saying Mac Jones. That move could be made for Mac Jones. And then I would imagine that if the Broncos don't land in the top 5, let's say they do get up to 6 or 7, I think we're talking about Justin Fields or Mac Jones being there. And remember, Justin Fields, this is a guy that 1 year ago from today, Brady, everyone was saying is going to be the number 2 overall pick in this draft. He may even push Trevor Lawrence for being the number 1 overall pick. So if he's the 5th quarterback taken and the Broncos are able to land him, let's say they stay at 9 or even move up a couple of spots, man, that would seem like you're getting a great talent. And of course there's going to be some question marks. He's the 5th quarterback taken. But what I would say to everyone who would say, why would you take the 5th quarterback in the first round of a draft? Lamar Jackson was the 5th quarterback taken a couple of years ago. If you believe in a guy, Don't let it bother you that if he's the 5th, 6th quarterback taken in a draft, if you like him. However, don't just take a quarterback to take a quarterback.
Zach, I saw one today from CBS Sports with Trey Lance dropping all the way to 15. I saw that having the Patriots moving around there with 15 going with Trey Lance. So I was kind of blown away by that, but it also leaves, you know, and I haven't seen many with him outside of the top 10, but I did see that one this morning, CBS Sports. How unlikely is it that George Payton takes a guy at 9 without moving around, takes a guy at 9 that he hasn't seen as far as their pro day is concerned?
Yeah, you would think that would be fairly unlikely. Unless what I'm still interested to find out is, does Mike Shula, the Broncos quarterback coach, attend Alabama's pro day to see Mac Jones in person? Then it takes a lot of this heat off George Payton just going to Ohio State's pro day and not seeing Mac Jones in person, because it really does come down to the position coaches, not in terms of who they draft. Obviously George Payton has that, but the position coaches are huge in terms of who they see. If they send everyone to Ohio State's pro day, then that is going to be very telling. But if Mike Shula is there at Alabama, then that would take a little pressure off. But you certainly would think that especially George Payton hasn't really been hiding his cards when it comes to the quarterback position. He hasn't made moves to deceive us. He's done nothing at the quarterback position, Brady, which makes it pretty obvious that they could go first round quarterback.
And that same mock draft I was looking, I pulled it up here, has Denver going with Micah Parsons at 9. And not a lot of people are going to disagree with that move, Zach, unless, you know, you were really had your heart set on getting a quarterback here. I mean, here we are talking this whole segment about quarterbacks. Micah Parsons, the big linebacker name. I don't know, man. I could almost see Denver, because of the contract situation with their current cornerbacks on this depth chart, I could still see them going with a cornerback at number 9.
Yeah, cornerback is certainly not off the table. Now, what George Payton has done is made it so it's not a pressing need, so that teams aren't jumping the Broncos to get a cornerback because they don't want the Broncos to take their guy. He's done a good job of that right now, which is the complete opposite of what he's done at quarterback, where they haven't even cut Jeff Driscoll to save $2.5 million. They haven't made a single move at quarterback. But cornerback, you're absolutely right. Bryce Callahan's entering the final year of his deal. And then you also have another cornerback, oh my gosh, Kyle Fuller, who is only on a one-year deal. Both of those guys are starting cornerbacks this year. They could both be gone after this year. I think they end up keeping one, the guy that probably stays healthier, but then you still have a need there. So they could absolutely use a first-round pick on a cornerback. And something else they could do is trade back and then take one of those cornerbacks, because I think there's three very, very legitimate first-round cornerbacks in this draft. You have Farley, you have Patrick Surtain, and you have J.C. Horn. So if the Broncos are comfortable with all three, it would make sense to trade back, accumulate some more capital, which is something that George Payton has loved to do throughout his career and has also preached that since taking the Broncos job, and go cornerback, set yourself up for the future.
Zach, I could talk to you forever about this, man. I got about 20 seconds here before a break, and we'll get more and more into this draft. On the Deshaun Watson side of it, with hearing all of the news continuing to pour out, is it safe to say that not just the Broncos, but nobody is going to make a move for Deshaun Watson, at least in this offseason? Still a lot to play out yet. You know, the whole innocent until proven guilty, right? But do teams back away from this completely in 2021?
Boy, I would think so. And Brady, I think that's the big thing is through 2021, we're not just talking about the next month leading up to the draft. We're talking about long after that as well. And so there's a chance that Deshaun doesn't even play this year. And I know that the Broncos have certainly taken a huge step back from this.
Yeah, no question. Zach, appreciate you as always, my man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll get more and more into this as we progress. We always appreciate you.
1 month till the draft, Brady. I can't wait. Thanks for having me on.
I'm ready. 1 month from the draft. What are the Broncos going to do? Is it going to be linebacker? Is it going to be cornerback? Is it going to be quarterback? Is it going to be Colfax? Who knows, man? Stranger things have happened. 51 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Who's your favorite Denver Pro sports team? I got the Broncos leading this thing. Where are my Nuggets guys? Where are my five Rockies guys? Go to thewholeshow.com and vote on the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. We'll be right back.
Volleyball and baseball coming to a Preps broadcast near you on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. First hour almost in the books. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Favorite Denver professional team, sports team? Broncos winning this thing now, 48%. The Avalanche are making a push here. The Nuggets are in second place at 28%. The Avs sitting at 20, and the Rockies at 4. Can't even get into double digits there in the percentage. So think about this question during the break, and we'll talk about it more in the second hour. Also, I'll get to my game of the week. What would it take? What would it take for the Nuggets to finally pass the Broncos or the Avalanche? I don't know if there's an answer to that. Second hour coming up next.